Let me welcome you to our time of worship today. My name is David Langworsch, pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Lakewood, Colorado, and we are celebrating Palm Sunday when we cry out to the Lord, Hosanna, which means to save, and he does just that. Welcome to this time of worship. Prepare yourself for the receiving of God's word, and also later we'll have Holy Communion, so get those things ready. If that's new or unfamiliar to you, let's get in touch and we can talk about that for you. But now, let's worship. Hosanna, praise to the King of Kings, as we worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you never failed me yet. Waiting for change. Change to come, knowing the best. carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. Hear your invitation. I see it now, laying it down. I know that I need you. Run to the Father, I fall into grace. Done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, again and again and again. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. And I don't have a context kind of love, I don't understand, can't comprehend. All I know that I need you. Run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, again and again and again and again. Oh, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again.
Let me invite you into a time of confession. And in this time, to just humble our spirits before the Lord, to reflect on how we need to cry out to Him from our sin, begging for forgiveness and knowing that He gives us just that. Will you pray with me? Lord, we cry out to You this day from the depth of our brokenness and sin, the wayward lives that we have lived, the ways we have wandered from Your paths. And we cry to You for forgiveness, for rescue, for deliverance. Lord, You know we are, from our very nature, sinful, and without You, we would be lost forever. But with You, there's hope, and there's salvation, and there's life. And so we rejoice greatly as those first pilgrims to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday praised Your name. So we praise Your name for the deliverance You give us. Help us, though, Lord, to be rescued from this sin. Save us not only from the punishment now, today, even eternally, but a life that is lived in sin, and help us to live for you. And Lord, we ask this in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. God loves to hear us in this time of confession, and it's not because of our sin. He hates our sin. You should hate your sin. But he proclaims to you that sin is forgiven. He proclaims to you salvation from that sin and all that sin has done to you, that it's done to this creation. You are forgiven and free. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's turn our attention to God's word today. This first reading comes from the prophet Zechariah. So this is Zechariah 9, beginning at verse 9. This will also be the basis for the message today. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. For I have bent Judah as my bow. I have made Ephraim its arrow. I will stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and wield you like a warrior's sword. Then the Lord will appear over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord will sound the trumpet and will march forth in the whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts will protect them, and they shall devour and tread down the sling stones, and they shall drink and roar as if drunk with wine and be full of a bowl drenched like the corners of the altar. On that day, the Lord their God will save them as the flock of his people. For like the jewels of a crown, they shall shine on his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great his beauty! Grain shall make the young men flourish, and new wine the young women. That is God's word. Our next reading is a psalm. It comes from Psalm 118, selected verses, beginning at verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called to the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. That is God's word and promise. And then from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Now, when Jesus and his disciples drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord needs them," and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble, and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. That is God's word. As we have heard God speak to us, we speak back to him words of faith, together with the church throughout the centuries, in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Save! 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 Now, a literal translation for the word Hosanna, which today, being Palm Sunday, we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. We kick off Holy Week. This is a big, momentous occasion. And the people seeing Jesus ride in on a donkey, they yell out, "Save! Save! Save!" It's an expression. It can both be an expression of joy, which in this instance seems to be the fitting context, but it also is a term that shouts out, "Save me. Rescue me. Deliver me." And I don't know exactly where you find yourself in life today, but I want you to know that these words, though in our immediate context, are a celebration. I know that many of you are struggling. I know that many of you feel oppressed. I know that many of you do not feel free, that life has you beaten down, that the circumstances in which you find yourself are overwhelming. Today we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus. And he enters each and every person's life not in the exact same way. There's not always a lot of fanfare. People have their expectations of what Jesus coming into their life will look like or sound like or feel like. And yet, Jesus promises to save. He comes to set the captives free. He comes to heal. He comes to lift up the brokenhearted. He comes to wipe away every tear. Today we celebrate that fact. And even though, yes, amongst those in the crowd, they may have been confused. They may not have known exactly what Jesus came to save them from. Did they have expectations that this was to be an earthly king that would kick out the Roman rule? Some, yes. Was this a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies to again reunite the North and the South kingdoms, making Israel one nation again? Yes, some thought that. Did every single person lining the streets, throwing down their cloaks, waving palm branches in the air, did they expect to be forgiven for their sins? No, probably not. And yet that is exactly how God uses this situation. He knows that from even before the beginning of time, his plan of salvation is coming to this point where Jesus comes in riding on a donkey and the people praise. And later that week, Jesus will die. Can you imagine the thoughts? Wait, he just came into our lives. We thought he was the one. Isn't he who has come to set us free? Yes. But they couldn't see the end picture because of the grave. Because of sin. Was it fear? Anxiety? Depression? Was it the overwhelming needs of the day getting in the way of the holy? I think we can relate. We want to have something to celebrate, and we as believers already know the love of God in Christ Jesus. We know that he has come to forgive us for our sins. We know and experience what daily forgiveness feels like and how it impacts those around us. We know the love of God and how it brings peace and hope and healing. And yet, just like those in first century Palestine, we're disappointed. We're challenged. We're exhausted. We're tired. Because life brings us down. In our reading from Matthew, it's described this way. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them, and they brought a donkey and a colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" This fulfills a prophecy from Zechariah, who wrote this section and probably around 480, one of the last of the Old Testament prophets. And what comes next for the nation of Israel is silence. And yet he says, look, one day there is going to be restoration. One day you will be saved. Hear these words from Zechariah. "Greatly rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so we see that Jesus, in fact, fulfills this prophecy. Can you imagine those that knew their Old Testament? Those that said, okay, God had promised this, and God has delivered. Zechariah's name means the Lord remembers. I find it fitting that when God makes a promise, when God tells the future, he remembers. He remembers you. You're not forsaken. You're not forgotten. God knows you and loves you. And so we have these bids throughout our life. God, save me. During one summer training, we were on a canoe trip and our program director fell into the river. I was in the canoe right behind her. And just as she was sucked under a strainer into the middle of the river, I remember hearing her yell out, "Save me." As I paddled closer, I realized that she was stuck just mere inches beneath the water and her eyes pleading. I can still picture it as if she was screaming through her eyes, "Save me." Maybe you've been to the scene of a car accident where someone is pinned and they're screaming, "Save me." Maybe you've had a friend in the midst of a divorce with withdrawal. They still cry out, "Save me." Maybe you have been the one in the midst of excruciating pain and suffering, have wished that you could say the words, "Save me," and yet no one seemed to be around. People cry out all the time, "Save me. Save me from this situation. Save me from myself. Save me from my thoughts. Save me from this life." We connect with this phrase because we ourselves have been there throughout many and various times of our life. And God remembers. And He knows. And He promises time and time again, and He has come through on those promises to save. Many people have stories of salvation by God, whether it be through guardian angels saving you from certain death, or whether it was at your lowest point, you felt as if no one was around and the peace of God came upon you. Or not being able to pay bills, or being overwhelmed with a decision to make, and yet in a time of prayer, you could have prayed something as simple as, "Lord, save me." And He answered. Now, many people claim, "Nope, God doesn't answer. I've yelled out, 'Save me,' so many times, and God has never once lifted me up out of the pit. God has never once healed me the exact way I thought I wanted to be healed." And your experience is real to you. But oftentimes, I think it's because we don't see the salvation that God has planned for us. On this Palm Sunday, what did people expect to see? I don't know, maybe some wanted a king, someone with a crown, riding in on a white steed with an army behind him, thinking that the only way to be free, the only way to live, the only way to experience joy would be free from Roman rule. Was it the Israelites in their day in Egypt? Slaves. They had food to eat, but they were beaten, overworked, tired. Moses takes them out of the land of Egypt, and yet, even when they turn around and see Pharaoh's army coming after them at the Red Sea, they cry out to God, "Save us!" To Moses, "What have you done? You brought us out here because there weren't enough graves in Egypt?" My point in bringing this up is because we fall into the same traps of looking around at seeing what life is giving to us, not liking it, and demanding of God that He save us in a way that we think is best. And yet God's plan of salvation, it's ludicrous. How can a man who, yes, has healed the lame, given sight to the blind, who has explained the scriptures as an expert, how can this simple rabbi, born of Mary and Joseph, the son of a carpenter from Nazareth where nothing good comes, how can this man be God's salvation? How can it be that we celebrate Him coming in, not even on the parent donkey, but the foal, the youngling? How is it that this man that we celebrate is by the end of the week stripped and beaten and whipped, and bleeding, and dying. How can it be that this man is he who comes to save me? How is it that God's plan of salvation is simply about his grace? He sent his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish but have everlasting life. You mean I don't have to be better, act better, do better? You mean I don't have to pray more, give more, sacrifice more? You mean I don't have to be perfect? How can this be? Because God's plan of salvation is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. And this is what the world cannot understand. This is what we ourselves sometimes struggle with. This is why we hear the rebuke of Jesus over the disciples, "You of little faith." Oh, you still don't believe? How is it that you've seen my works? You've seen the great things that I do, and yet you still do not believe? How many times do you have to see me step in and save, and yet you doubt that I can save? Is it because it's not the way you would have done it? I admit, I get frustrated with God at times. I see brokenhearted and hurting and jobless and divorce and pain and suffering. And I pray, God, bring about healing, bring about restoration, bring about freedom. And I don't see it in my timeline. It seems to take God forever. And yet, I am reminded to cry out to him, even in my distress, and trust that he will save. Trust that our grandchildren, whose parents don't take them to church, trust that the brokenhearted, trust that those who are dying, trust that those that are oppressed will be healed or freed or restored and ultimately saved. Friends in Christ, we have a God who absolutely saves. And we cry out, "Hosanna, save." Like I mentioned at the beginning, that cry of Hosanna can also be a cry of joy, because we know that our God saves. We know. We've seen it with our own eyes. We know it in our own hearts. He's taken me, a wretched sinner, forgiven me, baptized me in the holy waters of baptism, set me apart, named me Son of God, Daughter of God. God's picked me. He's picked you to save. And that message during Palm Sunday, the beginning of this holy week, this entire thing is to remind us, yes, this is a celebratory event, because we can trust and believe in the promise of God to save based on what he has done in the past, what he says he will do in the future, and what he is doing right now. I am so encouraged when I see people's lives transformed right in front of me. Oh, sometimes it takes days, weeks, months, and years. When someone that's been attending the table for 8, 9, 10 years comes to me and says, "Hey, the reason you haven't seen me is because I'm finally off the streets. I'm free of alcohol. I'm getting counseling. I've got a job. And I know it took a long time, but the Lord absolutely saved me." And it's not just one, it's a handful. And you may think, Pastor Dyer, you've been back to Bethlehem for six and a half years. You've only seen a handful, only a handful. If it were just one, I would rejoice. When I see adults transforming their daily schedules, no longer making their busy schedules to accommodate the world's desires for their children or even themselves, when I see them carving out time for family devotions and prayer time at bedtime, when I see families make worship a priority for them and their families, when I see people commit to doing life with other people, to walk alongside, to loving their neighbors, that's evidence of God saving people from their own downfall, saving people from their own sin, their poor decisions, saving them from a life of hurt. And yet, I don't claim to have a life that is perfect or pain-free. What I know is this, is that my seemingly worst day as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, is better than the best day of an unbeliever. And I know the message of the cross, that God uses simple things, broken things. He uses his son to be the sacrificial lamb. God does things different from how we do it or would want it done. Trust him, believe in him, and exclaim starting today and each and every day, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Yes, salvation comes from God. Salvation comes from above. It doesn't come from me or my acts. It doesn't come from my family or my friends. It doesn't come from my church. Salvation comes from God and him alone. So in the midst of suffering, in the midst of miscalculating, in the midst of all the junk that's going on in your life, know beyond a shadow of a doubt, our God saves. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. And now may this word of the Lord truly strengthen your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until his return to take us home. Amen.
Would you please pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we cry out to you as our salvation, our life, believing that in you, everything that we need is provided. You satisfy the desires of every living thing. We pray to you for strength, for our life, for the challenges that come our way. We come alongside Frank Christensen as he's still recovering from that broken femur. Thank you for the successful surgery, but continue to strengthen his body. And you know the physical, the mental, emotional challenges we all face. We pray, Lord, that you would provide healing at just the right way and time. Lord, we also pray for our world, for the unrest in the Middle East, the continued conflict there between Russia and Ukraine, other places throughout the world where there's conflict, warfare, loss of life. Bring peace, O Prince of Peace. And to our state, Lord, we ask that you would bring moisture. We ask that you provide for us through rain, snow, in such a way that it is life-giving. Lord, we pray as a ministry that we would serve you faithfully, and especially as we're working with the 5-2 Network, help the vision of our ministry to be your vision of ministry, what you want us to accomplish with the time you've given us and the resources, especially as we are continuing through the process of opening another campus down in Littleton. Be with that Southwest campus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the hiring of Kat Schmidt as the ELC director down there. Pray that you would continue now to walk with our ELC ministry here, as well as down there when we launch in August. Lord, we also pray for a director for our summer camp. We're still looking for that position for this summer. We have an awesome summer camp program and just ask that you would provide for us in that way. And help us, Lord, in whatever we do to serve you faithfully, because you have served us faithfully. Our loving God, our salvation, our song. And all of this we pray in the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray together as a family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now Jesus invites us to his table, this meal we call the Lord's Supper, communion, the Eucharist, which means he gives thanks, because Jesus gave thanks for these things and that night when he was gathered with his disciples. And somehow now, by the power of Christ's word, we receive not only reminders, not only tokens of his love, but in the bread and wine and grape juice, we receive Christ. Christ himself and all that comes with that, the life, the salvation, the forgiveness, the strength, the faith. For our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and now to you, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and also to you now, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. If you're not receiving communion, do know God's promise is for you. His love for you, grounded in the waters of baptism, where he seals you with his Holy Spirit and says what Christ has done for you is into eternity. And may that strength of Christ strengthen you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, take and eat. This is Christ's body, and it is given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And then, take and drink. This is Christ's blood, and it is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins.
Peace, bring it all to peace. The storm surrounded me, let it break. At your name, still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave.
darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear.
And now, this eating of Christ's body, this drinking of his blood, strengthen you and preserve you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. And we go from worship with God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. All blessings this Holy Week. You are certainly, certainly invited if you're here locally to come to our Maundy Thursday service, 10 a.m. or 6 p.m., a special celebration of communion around tables of approximately 12. And then on Good Friday at both noon and 6 p.m., the service of darkness trepidus, remembering, according to the Gospel of John, those last moments of Jesus' life before his crucifixion. And as he was laid, it would rise again. But this is the weighty moment of his death. Saturday, we have our Easter egg extravaganza. Lots of kids from the neighborhood come for that. And then Sunday, special times, 8, 9:30, and 11 o'clock, celebration of the resurrection. We'll have an Easter breakfast that morning. So lots going on, a great time to invite people to worship, and I hope to see many of you. Go with the peace of the Lord and take something from worship today. You can forward a link to someone else or just encourage someone. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Love on. You are changing the world. Love on.